Hare Krishna. Today I will only speak briefly to all of you. On Sunday we have a 6-hour long mini japa retreat in the same place, that is the church which has so many pigeons on top of the roof. There we will have this. My dear everyone, let me just address all of you today a little bit on the subject matter of what we are going to do. It's a little bit like a tune-in session. I think I will talk for half an hour. Should be closer. Yes. So let me just orient myself here in time.
Until 8:20.
Yes. Good. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. You can please join me. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Yasodhanandana Vrajaya Yasoda nandana raja janarandana Yamuna tira vana chasi Yamuna tira vana chati
Yamuna tira vana chati
Jayanatha madhava kunya vihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi My dear devotees, my dear everyone, we are preparing ourselves today for the great event to take place tomorrow, where we will chant the holy names together from 10 o'clock in the morning till perhaps 10 o'clock in the evening, around 10 o'clock, no? So this chanting, it is important to note, has two dimensions. One, a personal dimension. Yes, Hare Krishna. And the other goes far beyond a personal dimension. It is for the benefit of the world. I would like to speak about these two aspects of chanting. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which describes the pastimes, the early pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find that an incident where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to what is now Bangladesh, the east of Bengal, for a lecture tour. To ask an Indian to speak softly is like to ask a Dutchman to fly to the moon. It is impossible. Mahaprabhu goes as a young scholar to Bangladesh to give a lecture tour. And he arrives at the Padma River. By now it is known that the young genius of Navadvip has come, and a very good size crowd assembles every morning to hear from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can imagine the young Nimai Pandit sitting at the banks of the softly flowing Padma River. It's early morning, the water birds are making their typical sounds, and he is sitting there in the midst of his audience. He is he looks as beautiful as anyone has ever been. There is a beautiful blackish hair that contrasts to the golden face. His eyes are very large and wide open. He often raises his hand to make a point more clear, and everyone just hangs on every one of his words. So into this middle, into this group, suddenly a man crushes. It's clear he has not slept the whole night. Who is he? His name is Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra had been very much like all of us, trying many spiritual paths for his elevation. But although he had gone through many spiritual movements and practices, he was not sure about two things, which are the absolute need for any spiritual person. What is the goal, and what are the means for me to attain this goal? Already for like 5 years, he was battering with this question: what is the true goal of my spiritual life, and how do I attain it? What do I do? Do I read scriptures? Do I meditate? Do I perform austerities like fasting? I think yoga movements were not so absolutely in vogue. Everyone knew how to do yoga, like everyone knows how to go to the bathroom. You know, exercise was part of life. There was not a big talk about it. He had tried everything, and still he was confused. What is the goal of my life? What should I do with my precious energy? How should I spend my life? And then if the goal is clear, is there anything I can do to reach it? So that was Tapan Mishra. So in that night, before he crashed into the group of who listened to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had an interesting dream. It was one of these dreams which felt like reality. A divine being with some light around him appeared before him and said, "Oh, listen, Tapan Mishra, have you ever had an experience of these devatas coming to you? When they come, it's quiet. Your life stops. Listen, O Tapan Mishra." Very near to here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives every morning classes at the banks of the river Padma. He looks like a scholar, but he is not. He's an avatar of the Lord, and he can dispel all your illusions. Don't make a mistake. Don't see him just as a scholar from Bengal. And then the mystical being disappears. There's only dark night and perhaps the soft singing of the mosquitoes. So the next morning, Tapan Mishra goes down to the river, and yes, he sees an assembly, and yes, addressing them all, he sees the personality which was indicated to him in that dream, or you could call it wakeful dream, or we call it in Sanskrit spurti, you know. So he goes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Nimai Pandit, he grasps his feet and says, I was told that you know an answer, what is the means and how, what's the goal and how I can obtain it. So I don't know, I think Nimai Pandit finished his class and then had a personal talk, and he said, oh listen, Tapan Mishra, the goal is loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and you can obtain it by one means only. And he chants this verse, which many of you know. If you know it, please chant it along with me. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Anaseva, Naseva Katiya. Yeah. Mahaprabhu says it is foretold in the scripture that it's the chanting the holy name which is the process. This verse which he quotes says, it's three times says, chant the holy name, and three times there is really no other means. There is no other means. I'm telling you, there's no other means. And with this repetition, he says, it's not yoga, it's not jnana, it's a spiritual process also, it's not karma, it's the chanting of the holy name. So Tapan Mishra hears this. And I can imagine if you hear it from the lips of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, it doesn't remain a theory. More comes into this. I remember I once heard a direct instruction from Srila Prabhupada to my question. I had asked him a question when I was thinking, should I become a devotee or not? And Prabhupada answered this question for me, which I had at that time. And when he said it, it was absolutely clear. I shaved my head immediately, like the devotees who will take initiation tomorrow will do also, no? Because it was for me clearly a new beginning. So it was amazing when Mahaprabhu told this to Tapan Mishra. He immediately left his place. He went to the banks of the Ganga, where it's ideal for spiritual sadhana, in Varanasi. He engaged in the process of chanting the holy name. Mahaprabhu said when he finished the conversation, it is to this place where you should go. I will meet you later. After some years, we will meet at the banks of the Ganga. So from that moment on, Tapan Mishra, he went to the banks of the Ganga. He took every morning his morning bath. He chanted all day, and he waited for the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to Banaras and meet him at the banks of the Ganga. So, my dear everyone, when you chant Hare Krishna, there is one word, you know, when you want to do it on the personal level, which you have to learn. It's called Nirbandha. Nirbandha means a firm determination that begins to orient your life. You say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to chant 16 rounds each day. Or if I don't have that much time at my disposal. I'm going to chant four rounds or eight rounds or whatever, no? And then you do it. And it needs to, this time, if you want to bring your chanting to perfection, you need to do it with a nirbanda, that is a firm determination. I heard an example for what is nirbanda that is modern and relevant. Imagine a young man who eats too much, and wherever he comes, people joke with him, you don't have a six-pack, you have a one-pack, big belly, you know. And they joke with him in many other ways. You look as ugly as the president of America because you eat so much, you know. Maybe that's not a polite way to say you look overweight, you know, and it repeats everywhere. Whenever he comes to the cinema, people go, "Ha ha! Here comes Fatty!" whenever he's at the university, he's a glutton, and you know, he cannot go to one social event without people body shaming him. That's the new word. So after this has happened a few times, one day he says, "Enough is enough. I will now do something about my overweight. I will stop eating so much. I will make a diet. I will not eat in the evening pizza." No. And from that moment where he has this firm determination, food is no longer what it is for you and me, delicious or not so desired, or no, thank you. Food for him is no longer food, it becomes calories. If I eat now this much of this, my one pack will expand even more, no? And he makes that determination which brings him through the initial discomfort of regulating his eating. Can you relate to this?
Yes.
Has there been a moment in your life where you also said, "Enough is enough. I cannot go on like this," in relationship to your spiritual life, for instance? Yes, there has been. This is too much. I'm getting up every day at 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, this is too much. I have to really change my sleeping patterns. Has this happened? No. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So this type of determination, you would call it fierce determination, is necessary at the beginning of your spiritual life, because only this will bring you through the phase where you are not able to keep your spiritual vows. Someone who cannot have this fierce determination is not able to make it in spiritual life. Because remember, at the very outset of our spiritual life, we are not yet enlightened souls. We are conditioned souls who are overcome by moods, who are overcome by dislike and likes. Sometimes we like our chanting, sometimes we don't like it, we don't experience any taste, no? On an individual level, that is necessary. That will be also important for all of us tomorrow, when we have to decide how long will I participate as an active participant, not as a prasadam eater in the hall outside, in the kirtan. No, we will have to come to a little resolution, and then the spiritual process can work. No, this is the idea of initiation. Only those should take initiation who have come to this resolute determination. Those who have not yet come would only make a farce of a spiritual life. So then come, this is about the personal dimension of chanting. It needs to be done with a nirbandha. That is Mahaprabhu's instruction on chanting to the Navadvipvasis. Now, chanting also doesn't only have an individual benefit. It has a benefit also for all those who hear it. And please listen to this. They may not acoustically hear it, but if there is a powerful kirtan event, they are spiritually affected. The acoustic affection effect is limited to space, you know, where you have, you know, you hear it when there's a kirtan event, perhaps 20 meters outside of the venue, there's still the sound is there. But the effect of a kirtan is not just an acoustic effect that people hear it. It's a spiritual effect, and this effect really travels over long distances, sometimes even around the entire planet, and affects those who come in contact with it. Sound is very powerful. I will close my observations with an experiment that one of my devotee friends, who is a scientist, made. His name is Akandadi. You will need to focus now a little bit. Your intelligence might be challenged a little, so you have to concentrate now. In order to see what is the effect of sound, Akandadi cooked a pot for eating, a pot of rice, not for eating, I wanted to say. And when it was cooked, he made two bowls from it. He spooned the content of the pot in one bowl, which he labeled, "Thank you." And the second bowl, where he put the remaining portion of the rice, he called, "You're good for nothing." He took these pots, put them in the put them in the refrigerator, and he took, every day, he took these pots or bowls out of the refrigerator. To the bowl labeled "Thank you," he said, "I'm so grateful that you are there. You give your nourishment to me and my family. You grew far away on the fields of India, and you have been harvested and brought by a whole chain of people here into my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you." That's what he spoke to the bowl labeled "Thank you." Then he put it back in the fridge and took the other bowl, "You're good for nothing." Look at you. You're not even spiced. You have no color. I don't think you are very nourishing, because you are grown in the faraway fields of India, where they use a lot of chemical, dung. You are a good-for-nothing rice, not like a bio rice." 1 minute he talked like that for the other bowl of rice, and then he put it back. This he did for, I forgot now, was it 1 month or 2 months, one of these. Then, after speaking to the rice bowls, these two types of sounds, he put them back into the refrigerator, and after 9 months, he took them out of the refrigerator to see if there was something visible. Now, my dear audience, fasten your seatbelts and listen carefully. The bowl, the thank you bowl, had a nice consistency, almost a little golden. There seemed to be a lot of prana inside. And the other bowl, I think you guess it, it was like a slimy, bad smelling, here comes your new English word, sludge. You know, that's like a broth which is very bad. His conclusion after performing this experiment was, it matters what sound we hear, it matters what sounds the world hear. It will affect not only their consciousness, it will affect not only their mind, but it will affect even their physical bodies. Is the experiments, you could understand, Tarak, the experiment? Yes. Because this experiment, you can find it on YouTube. I know no one of you looks into the internet for films, your neighbor, you can ask them. Type in rice experiment, no? And there you will find this. And this is an illustration to my second point. The second point being that if we create this wonderful atmosphere of chanting the all auspicious names of Krishna, they will circulate in the planet and they will give so much good effect. This afternoon I talked briefly to His Holiness Jayapataka Swami, who was on his way to the Birmingham Kirtan event. That's tomorrow. So he was in England, and I said, Maharaj, do you have any message for the devotees? And he said, what message can I give? And he thought for a moment, and he said, yes, the whole world is engaged in wars and in crises and other conflicts and so on. And everyone feels the misery is increasing. Perhaps you can see it is in this last week. You know, I have only counted in 1 week. There were 12 people within a week who were close to me who suddenly died. Amongst them, a 5-year-old little girl, no, who died. Just. The misery is increasing, the tension is increasing. But the scriptures say that there's one means to keep Kali Yuga at bay. It's said in the Brahma Vaivata Purana that within this Kali Yuga, this age of quarrel and different problems, there is one good thing. And that is the chanting of the holy name, which will turn the tide, so to say, or the flow of the inauspicious atmosphere, and will establish 10,000 golden years, like Satya Yuga. So Jayapataka Maharaj's message was, every one of you should help to make 10,000 golden years. Nice message, no? Hare Krishna. So tomorrow it starts. It's for your individual clarity, so that you will know more clearly what's the goal and more clearly what is the means to reach the goal. For that, what was the important rule, word which we have to think about tomorrow? Nirbandha, what was that? A great determination, no? Because that is the only that will give your bhakti ornaments. Then your bhakti becomes shiny. If you are la 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 lu 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 devotee, your bhakti will lack the effulgence, you know, the brilliance. So that nibbana is necessary for everyone on their level. Perhaps your level is a certain level, and your other the other has another personal level, but some determination. It doesn't need to be big. It just needs to be that Krishna, I'm doing this for you. Good. The second thing for the universal benefit, the chanting is also there. Now let me look at my wristwatch without anyone of you noticing that I do it, because it's so impolite. Yes. Had a good time. I wish all of us a wonderful Amsterdam Kirtan Mela. That is, this will be like the fifth one, is it true? Fifth one. Wow, we are breaking through with this one, hopefully. It's at a very important time of our Amsterdam Yatra. We won't stay in this venue eternally. We need a temple. A proper temple, and there is lots of things are going on in this direction, but we all know when Krishna is pleased, everything is easy, so we hoped for that. Good.